Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let's hop in with our good friend Mark Schlereth, who joins us every couple of weeks. River Island's guest line, Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
How you guys doing, man? Great to talk to you.
We're fantastic. We're remembering the last time you were on, the Niners were about to play the Bills, and you were kind of thinking that, boy, we're going to see what the Niners are made of. This is make or break, and obviously they were awful. So what did that make you think about the Niners?
Made me think that they're done. Like, stick a fork in them. They're like, you know, I mean, they're still, what, two games out behind Seattle right now? Game out behind, I think they're tied with Arizona, game out behind the L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams in that division control their own destiny, and we saw what they did to the Buffalo Bills. Unbelievable performance by the two wide receivers in Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford. So I still think the same thing. I think they've dug themselves too big of a hole. They have not been able to compete offensively. They have not looked the same that they normally look, you know, and have not created the explosive plays that we're used to watching them, you know, create. And I think right now it feels to me to be a little too late.
So the win over the Bears didn't do a whole lot for you.
Oh, no, it was great. I mean, it did. It, like, you watch it, and you're like, "Oh, there's the Niners. Where's that team been all season? Like, where's that offense been all season?" So, yeah, it didn't make me feel like all of a sudden, "Oh, they got a chance." I just think they've dug themselves too deep a hole.
And so you look at a Ram game coming up on Thursday, and you know you may have Nick Bosa coming back and Trent Williams. We don't yet know to be certain, but you look at this matchup with a Ram team that has Nacua this time and Cooper Kupp maybe is going to go. Is it one of these games where the 49ers are playing well enough to maybe win this, or are the Rams just too hot right now?
No, I don't think the Rams are too hot. I think the Niners, they played like they did against Chicago. I think they can beat just about anybody. That's a big if. And, you know, it's really interesting. One of the things that the Rams have done, you know, we talk about Kupp being back. We talk about Puka Nacua being back. We talk about all that stuff. But one of the things the Rams made a conscious effort in is, they were like, "Hey, man, we've neglected our offensive line. We have not run the ball very well." Sean McVay, anytime you talk to him, he'll always talk about the illusion of complexity. "Hey, man, we're going to show you a lot of formations. We're going to motion. We're going to do a lot of things that Kyle Shanahan does. They work together, right? But really, what we're a downhill run team. We want to run the football. That's what we want to do. So that's what I expect from them. I expect them to run the ball well. And those two wide receivers block like they're tight ends or offensive guards. I mean, those two guys are pretty incredible. So the one thing that they have done, because San Francisco had their way with the Rams for a while, and they made the games tighter a year ago. And the one thing the Rams have done, they've been like, "Hey, man, we can't beat San Francisco. We can't match them, at least close to match them physicality-wise." And so that's a change they've made. That's a conscious decision that they've made.
Mark Schlereth with us on Willard and Dibbs. Stink, I wonder if you could, you know, you probably played at a time where you didn't need to worry so much about people tweeting after games or whatever, but like, how would you feel if you won a football game and then the next day a teammate is on Twitter saying, I'm doing fine, I'm just not getting the ball"? How would you react to that as a teammate?
It'd irritate me and it pissed me off. By the way, you lead the team in drops. So, mister, I'm getting along fine. Like, the thing Debo's a phenomenal football player. Phenomenal football player. And you became who you are because of your versatility. Because they could line you up in the backfield. I truly believe that Debo Samuel could line up in the backfield and rush for 1,200 yards as a running back. So they ran you at the running back position. They used you in the jet sweeps, the orbit sweeps. They used you in the screen game, the bubble screen game, the rip and tear screen game. They used you, you know, in a myriad of different ways, the deep overs and everything else. You're built like a fullback. Like, you're an incredible football player, and your versatility has made you a superstar and got you paid millions upon millions of dollars. But that's not good enough, right? Because, what, I'm not being paid as much as Brandon Ayuk, or I want to be an X receiver. I want to be something I'm not. I want to be a real boy. You know, I mean, at some point, accept who the hell you are and be grateful for what they've done in creating a superstar. I don't understand, like, why it's not good enough to be who you are. And what they've done for you is created a, you know, generational wealth. And like, you've worked hard. I get it. I mean, you're a great player, but you're not Justin Jefferson running the X, you know, you're not that guy. So I don't understand where the disconnect comes from. I don't understand the, you know, the disappointment. I don't understand, and it always comes from the wide receiver position. Like, at what point did we make these guys so valuable? They're so self-consumed, because it's always one of these guys that feels like. I mean, in Philadelphia, it's A.J. Brown. Like, at what point did we overvalue them to the point where they feel like they're above the team? I don't understand. You should make him line up one-on-one and play guard for a whole practice, and get a mouthful of Rydell every play, and start to understand what other guys have to do for you to even sniff a football. Because it bothers me. And that's one of the things about Kyle Shanahan that I know this to be true: understanding other people's issues and problems. Like, he is so big on that from a coaching standpoint, coach to coach, player to player. You need to understand what other guys have to go through, that other guys have to sacrifice so that you can have some success. And then we're going to pout because we got three balls thrown to us. We only had two receptions for 22 yards. We've got, what, one TD on the season? So now we're in pouting mode, right? And not that we won a game, that we handled them offensively and being excited for George Kittle and the day he had. And, like, we can't be excited. We got to pout about the lack of production we had. And that amount of selfishness, honestly, it just irritates the piss out of me.
No doubt, especially when you contrast it with Juwan Jennings, Stink, and you see the way he's going out there and playing and making plays. Does that give you a little bit of a lift, seeing a player like Juwan who's kind of embodying exactly what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And let me just be clear, man. I'm a huge Debo fan. Like, what that guy has been able to do throughout his career, and the thing, like, for the playing the running back spot and all the different things he's done, I think it's incredible. And I think it's just one of the cool things that I've ever got to watch. And it just is bothersome, I guess. And Juwan Jennings, man, that dude, I called a game last year in San Francisco against, I think, Seattle. And that dude is like, they got to rip that guy off of people. He's trying to kill people. And I love it. Like, you know, he's just a football player. And they develop so many of those guys in San Francisco. And I don't know what the disconnect is, but, you know, I said this a couple weeks ago on television, man, he just seems disgruntled. He just seems like it's not the same. And, you know, we made light of, oh, you know, the Pepper Tabor stuff, you know, and the choking people and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is something hasn't been right. Something hasn't been right within that locker room or with him. And I think, you know, I think that tweet, you can dismiss it, or you can say whatever you want about it. But ultimately, you know, that's one of those things that doesn't lie. That's one of those, that's like, you know, things that, you know, I always joke around, things that don't lie. The running game, you know, small children, drunk people, and yoga pants don't lie. So, I mean, all those things don't lie. And that's what he was feeling at that particular point in time. You can take it down, but the damage is done.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. And we are talking with Stink, Mark Schlereth, right here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. So, listen, Stink, we could look at the records, and I get all that, but you watch a lot of ball. Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams, Niners. When you just watch those teams, who do you think's the best team?
I think it comes down to the Rams and the Niners. And obviously Seattle's winning right now, and they're making some plays, and Big Cat Leonard Williams is probably playing the best football of his career. But I honestly think the two best teams, when I watch those teams, the deficiencies up front for Seattle are alarming. You know, they're winning in spite of their lack of being able to block and do things. So that's an alarming watch for me. But the two teams that I look at and think those two teams can play are the Rams and San Francisco.
And you mentioned that the run game, one of the things that doesn't lie, along with young children and yoga pants, which is, I'm going to be stealing that, by the way, absolute
genius. It's going to be the name of my fantasy team next year.
Yoga pants don't lie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty good, but anyway. You look at the Niners on the ground.
And by the way, yoga pants, a privilege, not a right.
a lot of this is getting written down, by the way, Stager. You're in your bag today. The ground game. McCaffrey out and Mason out. Garendo maybe out. Can the Niners still do it as they're down now to their fifth string running back?
Yeah, isn't it incredible?
Right.
It goes like father like son, man. It was just like we would one guy roll out, another guy roll in, one guy roll out, another guy roll in. You know, I remember a streak. There we had TD for 2,000 yards, and TD gets hurt in 1999, and Olandis Gary comes in and runs for 1,200 yards. And then in week one the next year, week two the next year, Orlandis Gary goes out, and Mike Anderson comes in and runs for 1,400 yards. And it's like it was just a factory. So do I think they'll be able to run it? Yeah. You know, I mean, ultimately everybody goes, well, it just is the system. It's the system, this, that, and the other. And that's, you know, that has a lot to do with it. It's a lot of the coaching. I watch more film than I probably should. But, man, there's so much good coaching. Bobby Turner is an amazing coach. And he does a great job of helping those guys understand what the scheme is, where the weakness of the scheme is, the likelihood of being able to press, whether you're going to have to cut back, where the weak link is, where the strong point of the defense is, like all those things. And you can see those guys understanding that, setting their blocks up, cutting accordingly, you know, I mean, all those things. And you know, one of the things that Mike Tomlin once told me, and I loved it, and I stole it, that you guys are going to steal my stuff,
yep,
is that, like, not every run needs to be a buffet. Sometimes you just need to have an appetizer. And so many backs try to make every run a buffet, every run a breakout. And what ends up happening, instead of getting a nasty 3, 3.5 that keeps you on schedule, you get a 1 or a 0 or a -1 because you're trying to be a star. And that system is not coached that way. Bobby Turner does not coach it that way. Bobby Turner, if you take a 4-yard gain and make it a 1-yard gain because you're going to spill it outside and try to, you know, outrun the defense, outflank the defense, your ass is going to be on the bench. And so it's coached that way. And I just think those guys are exceptional coaches that really understand the running game, the strengths, the weaknesses. So every guy is coached exceptionally well. And that's why every guy to me, you know, has success, you know, and I always say, hey, the year that Mike Anderson had 1,400 yards, TD would have had 2,100, you know, I mean, because he's that good and he makes up for a multitude of sins, but still, you can have a lot of success regardless of the guy's your starter or your fourth or fifth string.
Mark, you're so good on breaking down the offense, but I do want to ask you about the 49er defense. Their new defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen, has not really made himself popular with the fans so far. And Jordan Love and Josh Allen ran all over them without Nick Bosa. But then suddenly, they hold the Bears to 2 yards at the first half. Did they figure something out, or were they just playing the Bears?
Yeah, I think probably a little bit of both. Listen, man, it's hard when it's not just one coordinator, right? It is how many different coordinators have they had year after year? It was Wilkes. Who was before that? There have been multiple guys. And so you've heard multiple voices, multiple nuance, multiple changes across the board, and every guy wants it done a little bit differently. And so, you know, I have this kind of 10,000 hour rule, and I always think about it the way that I approach the game. Man, I've run this particular play 10,000 times. You've defended it 200 times. You know, it's the Globo Gym effect. I'm better than you, and I know it. And so let's run this play that I'm really good at. And there's not a defense you could line up in. There's not a look that you can give me that I haven't repped 100,000 times. And so ultimately, when you go through defense coordinator after defensive coordinator, from Sala to whoever else was next to, it was D'Amico
yeah.
Sala to D'Amico Ryans to Wilkes to, you know, to Sorensen. Like, that is hard because every little piece changes, every little nuance changes. And it sounds like a small deal, but it's a big deal. And continuity is important. And then you're hearing a different voice. And then you're saying, like, you don't have success with it one time. You're like, well, shoot, when we did it with so-and-so, we had a lot of success and I was doing it differently. I was playing this style a little bit differently. I was playing this technique a little bit differently. I was playing this leverage a little bit differently. And the way it was explained to me before made sense, but the way this guy's explaining, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just doesn't make sense. And so, like, those are hard things. Those are hard things. And, like, I even look at Seattle. Like, Seattle, we talk about your division. Seattle came in. They were awful early defensively. They actually dumped two of their starting linebackers and picked guys up off the street. And they're playing a lot better. But they've played the system for a while, and then they got a couple guys that fit better to that system. So part of great coaching is fitting your system to the guys' eyes and what they see and how they play. And so all that stuff takes time. And unfortunately, when you start a season, that's one thing you don't have. You can't say, hey, let's roll into this for 9 weeks and figure it out. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you can't make up continuity, and you can't make up, the experience that you have with a coordinator who's been there and a team that's been there as well. I want to ask you, Mark, about philosophically what the Niners do, because they don't blitz very often, yet they don't seem to play a lot of press man coverage. How important is it for a defense to marry what you do with the front four with how you cover on the back end?
Everybody, like every defensive coordinator I talk to, when I sit down with them, they always talk about marrying the pass rush, you know, with coverage. And like all those things are incredibly important. And, you know, talking about nuance and how this stuff works, I was having a conversation with Eric Mangini today. We were just talking football. And I was like, you know, one of the things that I always thought of as a player is on this particular play, like, I want to know the global perspective of what we're doing. I want to know what my tight end is doing. I want to know what my fullback is doing. I want to know what my halfback is doing. I want to know the releases. I want to know the depth of the routes. I want to know how many hitches the quarterback has. I want to know what the timing of the route combination, when the ball is out. I want to know all that stuff, right? So I can adjust to accordingly. And then I want to know, like, hey, where's the quarterback set up? On play pass, where is he set up? On three-step drops, like, does he drift in the pocket for based upon what we're throwing? Like, all these different things are important to me, because the first thing I thought to myself as a player is, like, I'm walking up to the huddle and I go, where can I not get beat? That's my first thought is, where can I not get beat? Where do I have help? Where do I have leverage? Where do I have, you know, a fullback or a tailback releasing through the B gap? How can I funnel a guy to where, you know, where there's traffic, and that traffic will help the foot traffic of a back or a tight end or whatever is going to help me block the guy. So those are the things that you think about. And when you haven't been coached, you know, and you don't have that continuity, guess what's lost? That nuance. And the difference between being good and being average is nuance. This whole game is nuance. And there's so many little tricks, and there's so many little things that take you from good to great and great to exceptional. And when you don't have a lot of time on task, it's really hard, because you know how you learn? By getting your ass kicked. That's how you learn. You know, I always joke around, you can't upkick a four-eye. And for those who don't know what a four-eye is a defensive end that's lined up on the inside shade of an offensive tackle. And an upkick is a short set where you actually fake run. Well, you know how I learned you don't upkick a four-eye? Because when you upkick a four-eye, it turns your body and it gives you a soft edge on the outside and a soft edge on the inside. You know how I learned that? By upkicking a four-eye on a three-step drop and get my ass kicked and giving up a sack. That's how I learned it, right? And I was like, oh, shoot, you know? So we had, like, my production crew, we have a joke. Like, when somebody says something and maybe it doesn't make sense or something says that or something that didn't go right, we always say, we look at each other and go, guy upkicked a four-eye. Yeah. What a moron.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, Stink. So even if they go 7-7 and win this game Thursday, you still think they're dust, huh?
I do, unfortunately. But, hey, listen, man, I'm the biggest Niner fan because I'm a huge Kyle Shanahan fan. And you know, Mike Shanahan is a dear friend and a mentor of mine. So I'm always rooting for the Niners. But I just think they put themselves or dug themselves too big a hole. But I had a coach that used to tell me all the time, the only place you ever start on top is when you're digging a hole. So maybe they can get out of it.
Well, yep. I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that it is unlikely. Mark, thanks, man. Great stuff today.
All right. Be good.
All right. There he is. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo. Game day. Be delicious.